to share with you a couple of reflections from Matthew's Gospel. But first of all, some of you may be familiar with the property laws of toddlers, and I thought I'd read you the Ten Commandments, the Ten Laws of Toddlers relating to property. First of all, number one, if I like it, it's mine. Number two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Number three, if I can take it from you, it's mine. Number four, if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Number five, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number six, if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. Number seven, if it looks just like mine, it is mine. Number eight, if I saw it first, it's mine. Number nine, if you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. Number 10, if it's broken, it's yours. Now we smile, because we've seen this in action in the lives of toddlers that we have known. Toddlers have little regard for others. You'll see them sometimes playing alongside one another, but it's actually not until they're about 3 years old before they actually start to play and engage with other children and play with them, engage them properly. The reality is their horizons are pretty limited. They just want to do what they want to do, and they don't really care too much about other people in the picture. Sadly, we see this toddler mentality in the way that some adults relate to one another, and indeed some countries. So sometimes nations get on with things just without interacting with other nations at all, when actually a bit of collaboration and engagement would be helpful and beneficial. And then, of course, occasionally we see nations reach out and taking what belongs to another nation. Just that principle of, if I can take it from you, it's mine. And fundamentally, this selfish and rather self-absorbed attitude needs addressing. In what Christians call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about our attitudes to one another. I'm going to read just a few verses from it from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." So in these words of Jesus, we see him teaching his disciples the best way to live. He's reflecting on parts of the Jewish law that the disciples would have known well. You've heard it was said, "Do not murder." Well, they certainly would have heard that. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and it stands even today as a law in our land. He also referred them to a local law about insulting behavior. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," which is an Aramaic insult, anyone who says that is answerable to the court. And they would have known that too. It's a little bit like we know the law about murder. We know it's not nice to call people names. We know it's not right for a toddler to take another child's toys. We know it's not right for an adult to insult another. We know it's not right for a country to take land from another country or to exploit their people. But Jesus is saying more than that, isn't he? He takes it up a notch. "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not murder.' But I tell you, that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." So here Jesus says, this is not about behavior so much as attitude. See, when a toddler takes another child's toys, when an adult insults another person, when a country sends its army to invade another nation state, underlying this behavior is a primal, selfish attitude that says, only I matter. Only my people matter. Everyone else is dispensable. And Jesus says this selfish attitude is deeply wrong. He goes as far as to say that those who insult others are in danger of the fire of hell. And maybe it's because I'm getting older, but as I look at the world around me, I see an awful lot of insulting behavior, an awful lot of rising anger, particularly on social media. And as Walt Disney's famous mantra, you know, be yourself, just be yourself. Don't let anyone else tell you who you must be. As that mantra continues to spread and it informs and directs our common life, what we find every year is that we begin to determine individually our own version of what is wrong and right. And no wonder we find ourselves more divided than ever before. Jesus' teaching shows us that what is important is not self-determination, but love for other people. There's no place for pride, no place for selfishness, no place for hatred or exploitation, no place for bearing grudges. God calls us to forgive those who have wronged us and to seek reconciliation from those we have wronged. The image Jesus uses to help his followers understand this is very simple but quite profound. He says as they gather at the temple offering their offerings to God, if they remember that somebody has got something against them, that they should stop. He says, in effect, leave your live sheep here in the temple and go back to the village where you came from, maybe 3 days' journey away. Make your peace with the person who's offended you or the person that you've offended, and then come back the 3 days' journey into the temple to offer your offering. Forgiveness and reconciliation are costly, but they are essential if we are to live. So God's call is upon us all to act in love towards those with whom we share our planet. We are not to dismiss people with insults or treat them as if they don't matter, but to honour, respect them, and show them love. There's a lesson here, isn't there, for how we treat and view refugees, how we respond to those of poorer nations who ask for help because their lives are at risk because we fail to limit our carbon emissions. We will get it wrong. Even if we know it deep in our bones, we will get it wrong. We will fail. But God, in his great love for us in Jesus, has done what he asks us to do. He has stepped towards us in reconciling love. He's lived as one of us, and he's died in Jesus Christ to take the hurt of our broken relationships upon himself. We are loved, and we can be forgiven if we turn to him in faith. Therefore, let us be quick to repent and quick to forgive others who hurt us. Let's live the love of God who gave his life that we might live.